Thank you, everybody. I'll just start by introducing myself. I'm Steph Cameron and I'm the Deputy Mayor, and today is my first meeting chairing the meeting. So that's my plea for my fellow councillors to give me an easy run. So thank you for having me today. So the safety announcement, evacuation details and information are located on the wall at the entry to the chambers. In an emergency, an alarm will sound and wardens will assist you to your evacuation from the building. If directed, please evacuate in a calm and orderly manner via the reception area. Go directly to the evacuation point, which is in the car park beside the town hall. So just confirming the audio recording
is on.
So I now declare the meeting open at 3:03. Do I have a special microphone? Okay. So we have apologies from Councillor Michael Kelly as well as Mayor Wayne Johnson. And I will start by beginning. I will begin today by acknowledging the Palitore and Panahere past peoples, the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we gather today. I pay my respects to past elders. To elders past and present. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders here today. I'd also like to acknowledge our incoming and returning Councillor Rodney Sinfield. He is returned to office on the 21st of February following the resignation of Councillor Barry Lee at the end of January. So welcome back, Rodney. It's nice to have you back. So confirmation of the minutes. Is there someone that would like to move that? Thanks, Lottie. Is there a seconder?
Steph, you listen clearly for the microphones.
Do I need to tell them to use their microphone?
No, just for the audio recording to state who.
Okay. I need to say who it was. Councillor Dornoff and Councillor Loader. Sorry. Would anyone, does anybody have any issues with the minutes, or we go straight for those?
I don't have an issue, but I'd rather not participate in the vote because even though I was present at the meeting, somebody sees the minutes down the track, they're going to ask the question, well, how come you voted on that? So, yes, I was here, but I'd rather not participate in this. That's okay?
Okay. So, all those in favour?
Aye.
It's unanimous, except for council. Is there any declarations of interest? So, Councillor Workshop Report, we had quite a lengthy workshop on the 28th of January, and with the flood incident towards the end of the year, we had a large amount of unplanned work that we needed to work on, so thank you everybody who's been through that. So, moving on to Mayor and Council Report. What did I say, January? It was February. Wasn't the 28th, was it? What day?
It was
28th.
Good pick up, John. So I'd just like to take a moment to acknowledge and pause to remember the passing of Jesse Yu. I think a lot of you would be familiar with Jesse and Jesse's family in our community. So it was a very tragic death, and I'd just like to pay my condolences to Jesse Yu's family. Would the councillors have any acknowledgements? Councillor Dudman.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I just wanted to acknowledge three community groups in the Meander Valley who are pillars of our community for connectedness and inclusion and who have done some amazing work recently. So on Wednesday the 8th of March, Launceston City Football Club celebrated their season launch. LCFC, under the leadership and support of Denny Linger and Jess Woodroff, run a highly successful community soccer club, of which many of us around this table are proud to support. They have built strong connections with community and their membership, and the number of teams that they field are a testament to this. I'm proud to be a member of LCFC and wish them the best of luck in their upcoming football season. I also wanted to take this moment to recognise the Mole Creek Hall Committee, who I met with on the 27th of February, and thank Sue, Jenny and Marie of the committee for meeting with me and discussing the hall itself and everything else happening in Mole Creek. I've often said that the hall committees are the lifeblood of small communities, and the Mole Creek Hall Committee is no different. If there is something that Sue, Jenny and Marie don't know about Mole Creek, then it probably isn't worth knowing. So thank you to that committee for meeting with me, and I look forward to working with them into the future. And finally, I just wanted to acknowledge the Deloraine Streetcar Show and give a massive shout-out to the Van Diemen Street Rod Club, Inc. on the return of the ever-popular Deloraine Streetcar Show. On the 19th of February, the streets of Deloraine were packed with people and lined with cars as people young and old enjoyed the good weather and the great cars out on display. This event is fantastic for community, for tourism and for businesses in Deloraine and more broadly in the Meander Valley. And I want to acknowledge the membership of the Van Diemen's Street Rod Club for their work in putting this event together. It is a massive effort to get an event like this off the ground and running successfully, and is something that has worked on months before we all show up to enjoy the day. So to the club members, for your hard work, it has paid off, and I thank you for that.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. Councillor Sinfield.
Yeah, I just want to state that I, along with, as listed there, Councillor House and Loader, attended the Blackstone Heights meeting on the 1st of March, and I also went to, with Councillor Temple, to the 7th of March meeting of the Carrick Hall Committee.
Thank you. So, Councillor Dornoff next.
For you, Deputy Mayors or Acting Mayor. Just reverting back to your comments about Jesse Reed and his family, I would like to pay our respects to Jesse, obviously, and his partner Sarah Jane and their wonderful family. The Ude family is synonymous with Deloraine and therefore the Meander Valley. It's a terrible tragedy, I hope we're not sitting around this table having the same discussion in the future. Thank you.
Councillor Lover.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I attended the launch, the season launch for the Launceston City FC, which was a great night, and Councillor House and Mayor Johnson were also there. And I also represented you at the 2003, what was it called?
Honour Roll.
Honour Roll of Women event on Friday, which was absolutely fabulous. And thank you for that opportunity, Deputy Mayor.
Okay, so we'll just move. Any petitions received, GM?
Neil.
Community representation?
Neil.
So we'll move on to public question time. Is anyone in the gallery that would like to ask a question today? You have 3 minutes. Is it just at your name? Joy, you were first?
Yeah.
So just your name and location and then 3 minutes, please. John will help you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Here I am again. I had a question on notice last month in regard to the Platypus Burrow sites at the worksite area. I'll just read you quickly my question so you can get some context. Matthew Millwood informed me during our phone conversation that he had an expert in to advise on the platypus situation at the cleanup site in December 2022, a zoologist, I believe he said. Can council please advise whether the zoologist expert identified any platypus burrow sites along the riverbank in the cleanup worksite area, and if so, what measures were taken to protect them? The advice given back from John Jordan, the general manager, advised that the Department of Natural Resources and Environment Tasmania zoologist provided advice as part of the pre-approval process for the flood clean-up works, but they did not attend the site. I'm not very comfortable with public speaking. This is a platypus burrow at the worksite area. I let the council know about 3 weeks ago. Several of you have received the emails. No response from anybody. It's a significant platypus nesting burrow site that I found within 30 seconds of actually looking through the worksite area. There are several entrances which suggest that it was used for breeding purposes. The works carried out in December 2022 were done once again during nesting season with female platypus in burrows with eggs or young. It's unfortunate the Mayor cancelled our meeting on site this morning, John, because I did want to show him what had been done to this vulnerable area. Four large trees were cut down and poisoned within 1.5 metres of the entrance of this burrow. The platypus using this burrow have now been displaced with no chance of recovery at this stage. There was no measures in place to either identify or protect them. What was the point of engaging a zoologist if he wasn't even going to be there and view the site? You may have ticked all your boxes on paper, but that's all, unfortunately. The council should have done a proper environmental survey with a zoologist on site prior to the removal of the trees back in December. So what can be done? I've spoken to Mark Flanagan, the platypus tour operator, regarding the identification of platypus burrows in the worksite area. He stated that he was only asked if he thought there were some in the area, but no one actually checked. Nobody. Nobody went into the site, nobody looked. In my conversation with Matthew Millwood on the phone, he stated to me that the zoologist had ensured that the site was secure for works, and that the platypus sites in the area would be protected. I couldn't have been happier, Matthew. But there was no environmental survey and there was no identification done. The due diligence just wasn't done. I'm sorry, but it wasn't. So I'm going to be blunt. I regard the destruction of habitat along the Meander River in town over the last 2 years to be a form of environmental vandalism. You promise to revegetate, but you do nothing. This decision impacts a lot of local businesses in town who rely on tourism. Many of these business owners have spoken to you about this, but it falls on deaf ears. So what can be done to regain some semblance of trust within our community? For a start, a revegetation project needs to be implemented as soon as possible. Small clumps of overhanging vegetation, such as tea tree, paper bark and acacia, need to be planted right along the banks to create habitat once again and to stabilise the erosion that is significant on the riverbanks. Planting three European trees 6 metres from the original destruction site 2 years ago does absolutely nothing in terms of regeneration of the habitat that was destroyed. The council also need to ensure that some kind of sediment retention baffles are placed across the worksite area as soon as possible, just like a building site area with sediment fencing. I don't know if you're aware, but the risks of large-scale sediment release during winter rains will smother the riverbed, leading to significant loss of invertebrate fauna, which the platypus need to survive. This sediment will also reduce the carrying capacity of the pool above the weir and therefore significantly impact the food source of our local platypus. I've contacted the Department of the NRE and the Department of Wildlife Management this morning and I'm waiting for a response. I just have a question.
Yes, it's okay. Thank you.
So my question for this month is, when will the council start the revegetation process along the riverbank? And will the council ensure any future works needed will be done following the proper processes and due diligence that will ensure the legal protection of platypus burrows in the Meander Valley? Thank you.
Thanks, Joy. Would you like to answer?
Through you, Deputy Mayor. Council will meet its obligations both legally and environmentally. It's working with the department and the remediation of the site will be done once the department has indicated what its expectations are and we will work to those expectations and in consultation with the community. That will be informed by professional opinion.
So what's to be done about the impact again? This is the third time.
Would you be able to provide that question in on an email so that we can make sure it's responded?
Yes, it'll take another month, of course.
Is there any other questions from the board? Thank you. So we'll move on to councillor question time. So no questions have been received or notice from councillors, but
Without notice. Without notice.
Do anyone have a question about this? Councillor Loader.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I'm becoming increasingly more concerned about the participation rate in the future of local government review. Most people I speak to have no idea about the review and that the outcome could have ramifications for residents and ratepayers of the Meander Valley. I don't believe that the methods for the community to participate were designed in a way that encourages and enables everyone to have a say. Stage one of the review concludes in May this year. Can we as a council express this concern to the Minister for Local Government, and can we as a council commit to actively promoting future community participation?
Thanks, Councillor. Would you like to respond?
Through you, Deputy Mayor. In short, yes, council can express its views to the government. It just requires us to form a consensus view from the councillors in terms of a motion, and we can certainly continue to promote awareness. I understand we have promoted information sessions on social media in the past. Whether or not that's adequate is a million-dollar question, and to your concern, perhaps not. But certainly with guidance from the council, we can advocate on behalf of the community.
Any further questions, Councillor House?
I'm acting there. To the General Manager. I refer to the debate in the Tasmanian Parliament about the approval processes for the rebuild of the Bracknell Hall. Was Mark Shelton an office holder on the Bracknell Hall Committee? If so, in what capacity? I understand that the Hall Committee was inactive. Is that correct? If so, what committee was Council dealing with to progress the replacement of the hall?
Through you, Deputy Mayor. Council records from 2014-15 until now show that Mark Shelton was nominated as a member of the Bracknell Hall and Recreation Ground Committee, but was not an office holder being a chair, secretary or treasurer of the committee at any point. Council minutes indicate that annual appointments to the committee were confirmed by Council each year except for 2016. In May 2019, Council acted to assess the hall's structural soundness, and this resulted in the hall being condemned and closed. From 2019-20 financial year, Council records subsequently do not record the holding of an AGM or election of members to the hall committee. On the 16th of November 21, via email, the Hall Committee Secretary, Ms Carol Spencer, advised in part that, and I quote, "we are not a functioning committee as such due to the hall not being used," brackets, "and not likely to be used in the next 5 years the way things are going," close brackets, end of quote. I understand that Council continued to be advised of no updates in respect of office bearers, with advice received to this effect on the 28th of February 2020, 22nd of September 21 and 14th of February 22. The above records are consistent with my experience that the Hall Committee was inactive. In progressing the rebuilding of the Hall, myself, Council officers and some councillors, namely Councillor Knott, Councillor Bower and Councillor Sinfield, routinely met with an informal community group. This did include some members of the inactive Hall Committee, but others as well. I do not recall Mark Shelton being part of any meetings apart from the attendance at a public forum about the hall, though I'm not certain of this in terms of my recollection. Given Council's commitment to replacing the hall and strong community views on the need for the hall and the time taken to achieve an outcome, when estimates indicated a higher than anticipated cost to build, I did deal with Mark Shelton and representatives from the Australian Government when seeking additional funds to build the hall. That's the role of the General Manager. This approach was independent of any role Mark Shelton played on the Hall Committee.
Thank you, Jim. Is there any further questions? Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I have two questions. The first is my usual question. Is there any update on any activity concerning a proposed prison?
No, not to you.
To you, Deputy Mayor.
Siri was helping me.
You have another question?
Yes, I have another question. Thank you. Overnight, there are reports that the federal government has entered into an agreement under the AUKUS pact to spend $369 billion on a new submarine fleet. Pro rata, based on population, the Meander Valley's contribution will be in the vicinity of $310 million. The Australian submarine fleet, in its 109-year history, may have been engaged in classic clandestine activities in the national interest, how it has never sunk an enemy vessel. As the new manned vessels are likely to be superseded by emerging technology before they are launched, would Council write to the federal government to ascertain the benefit to the Meander Valley in making this purchase?
Thanks, Councillor Temple. I think the GM may need to take that on notice to be able to give you a full answer. I mean, I don't have an issue with writing a letter to seek more information.
It's just a letter to seek information. It's a huge cost to a small community.
If it's the will of the council, then possibly you could work with the general manager to draft something. Would that be okay? Would you like that?
Through you, Deputy Mayor, I would have thought that it's appropriate for you to put me the motion before the council to gain consensus support.
Well, I can put that as a motion, Acting Mayor. And that is simply that we write a letter of inquiry to the federal government on the basis that I outlined.
Seeking some information.
Yeah, just to ascertain the benefit to our community based on the history and based on the likelihood that new manned vessels are likely to be superseded before they hit the water.
It's not related to council business.
Mm. Is there general support from councillors to progress further, or would you prefer to put it to a motion, fellow councillors? Councillor Dunn?
Look, I have always said that I won't get in the way of councillors pursuing matters like this, so if it is an issue that Councillor Temple thinks is worth providing to, then I'm happy to support him in doing so.
Councillor Doyle?
Knowledge is power. I don't find any issues with writing to seek further information.
Okay. Just to clarify, just will be helpful, Councillor Temple, just to have a chat offline with the GM just to make sure that we've got the information correct before we proceed. But happy to do that.
Well, I'll send the question through.
Thank you. Any further questions from councillors? Councillor Sinfield?
Yeah, this is a bit remiss of me. It should be fully prepared, but off the back of the comments already about Jesse Ude, and I guess framed as a question, is council aware that his father was in fact a former councillor in this place 8 or so years ago? For a period of time, also a very close family member was a member of, a valued member of staff here. I guess my question is opportune is something that might involve the community in having a discussion about. We are currently in the middle of a process to build a new building structure for squash courts. Jesse Ude was very intimately involved at a state level in that particular sport. It's off the back of the fact that there's a Ute arena was in the same sporting precinct, which no longer exists because it's now been taken over by the netball courts at the back. That was known as Ute Arena for axemen sport. And I'm wondering as to the appropriateness of having a community consultation or participation in perhaps considering naming that centre after Jesse Ude, the new squash courts, I mean.
Thanks. I don't think I'd have anyone against you probably around the table at the moment, but would we be able to take that discussion further when we get to that stage?
well.
If you're happy to, I think it's a good suggestion. Councillor Dornoff, did you heard something?
Just on that point, I think we'd be best to have that consultation with the family first before we have a discussion around this table and in the community. But I think it's a wonderful idea for the note.
Councillor House? Okay. Thank you. Okay, thank you. So is there any more questions from councillors before we move on to planning? No? Okay. So in planning matters, council acts as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. So we're going to move on to 41 Castle Street, Deloraine. Okay. We've got some speakers registered today to speak about Parsons Street. So same deal, 3 minutes, and just state your name and where you're from, the suburb. So I'll invite Mark Butson to come up and speak, if he would like to. Thanks, Mark.
Mark Butson, the owner of 29 West Broderick Street. I'm also a structural engineer. I worked for 40 years designing buildings, including residential commercial buildings. And I've spent the last 6 years providing structural advice to the National Trust of Tasmania. Before I get started, I'd just like to mentioned there is an error in the planner's report in the response to M. Butson and K. Gribson and others. It talks about neighbouring heritage listed properties. That is actually incorrect, because if you look at the submissions from Butson and Gribson, you'll see that there's no reference to neighbouring heritage listed properties at all. And the planner goes on to show a map detailing heritage listed properties surrounding it in Deloraine. Well, that's totally irrelevant, because no one raised the fact. If you read the submissions, there's only a reference to heritage houses. And I just quickly point out, there's a vast difference between a heritage house and a heritage listed house. Okay. Just as a side point very quickly, the Tasmanian Heritage Council has the Tasmanian Heritage Register of what we call listed heritage properties. That has been dramatically reduced. So, in fact, the map that was shown, some of those properties have already been deregistered. So the map is incorrect. And it shows another map, I think it's my house, number 29, Shaver. The house was built in 1876 and could be registered, but I've decided not to. But the whole point of mentioning those issues relating to heritage houses was that in terms of vibratory compaction of the earthworks, and that is a serious issue. And before I go on, I just want to point out that I am painfully aware that the planning section does not get involved in retaining walls or vibrating recompaction of earthworks. But I am still going to raise those two issues, because they affect this application extremely seriously. The first point is retaining walls. Now, I've got two drawings here, but I don't think I'm allowed to show anyone. Is that right? They're not. They're just thumbnail sketches.
You can pass them around, you're fine.
Because it may help people understand what the hell I'm talking about. If you look at the drawing, you'll see that there's an existing wall for 45A Parsonage, which is roughly a 2.5 metre terrace garden wall. That's the blue lines, and if you look at the red line, that is actually the proposed wall that was shown on the drawings for the application number 41, I believe. Now, The wall that's shown in yellow shading is actually the dividing wall between the two properties. Now, so if you have a quick look at that sketch, you'll see that the proposed wall from 41 puts bearing pressure on the wall for 45A. Secondly, the wall for 45A was never designed or built to take the pressure of vehicle traffic or a building behind it. Secondly, behind that wall is an existing power pole, which may be in danger of collapse. I just quickly move on to vibratory compaction. As structural engineers, we divide soils into cohesive and non-cohesive soils. Just to put that very crudely, Deloraine soils would go into the cohesive category, which is clay soils. With all foundations, both the slab and the strip footing, including retaining wall, should be designed to consider the cohesive soils. The problem we have here is that the council no longer has a building surveyor. Private building surveyors are engaged, if you're lucky. There's questions that need to be raised about the independence and conflict of interest of the building surveyor. But the reality is, the bottom line is that you never see a building surveyor on any of these sites. I've been living in Deloraine for 6 years. Even when we did have, the council had its own building surveyor, nothing was done regarding vibratory compaction or retaining wall. So the short of all this is, to put it simply, is that retaining walls just get built ad hoc. There's no design from a structural engineer. There's no supervision from a construction engineer. No building surveyor looks at it. In some cases, a retaining wall doesn't even get built. So this is a particularly serious issue regarding future litigation for not just the council, but also the owner of neighbouring properties. It might be okay at the moment for the present owner, because he knows what was done and what wasn't done. But when the property gets sold and he decides to build a building against that adjoining retaining wall, and he discovers that the retaining wall was never designed to take a building or a driveway, we face serious litigation issues. So I'm just sort of raising this issue that it's a serious issue for the council. It needs to really take up these issues. Regarding, just before I finish, regarding vibratory compaction, I've said in my submission that they shouldn't use large vibrating rollers or large vibrating earth equipment. They should only use small plate compactors. Now, I've got standards here from a state government department on the mainland, which details all this information in to great extent. The council has nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. What happened with 45A, I woke up one morning about 6 o'clock to the sound of large earthworks going on. So I went down there, spoke to the builder and the owner, knew nothing about it. I spoke here, you know, in the similar meeting, similar forum for that development, 45A. But it's also number 39, I believe, further up, has a retaining wall. But they're already, both of those retaining walls already have structural problems, let alone have this one built alongside it. And that dividing wall, just before I finish, that dividing wall, the one shown in yellow, that is just a simple garden wall. It was never designed to be a retaining wall. And the previous owner of 45A put soil over the top and planted a hedge, so it's all out of sight, out of mind. But, if this application was to go ahead, and just one final point, if you look at that drawing, you can see that you don't even have to be a structural engineer to see that floor proposed for 45A is way too high. It needs to come right down to the same level of the adjoining wall, and when it does, it will affect the planning section, because it moves the entire application towards Parsony Street. Okay,
sorry. It's actually my fault. I need to get much better at my bell operation, but I haven't. I'm not very good at that, but thank you, Mark. There's a couple of other speakers on this item. So Karen Pennington-Smith, would you like to speak? Yep. So 3 minutes, please, and just your name and location for the recording, thanks.
Thank you. My name is Karen Pennington-Smith and I live at University 43 Parsonage Street, and I'm an accredited medical social worker in general practice in Launceston. So I'm not going to address the building so much. My husband is here, he's a retired builder, he could address those things, but I think that the planner, senior planner, has already addressed the concerns that I raised in my objections. And in my objections, I was representing not just myself, but the other elderly neighbours who reside at 43 Parsonage Street, none of whom will be physically able to be here today, nor do they access email. But one of my other neighbours, Kay, who I represented, is here. So the two concerns that I wanted to bring to Council's attention today relate to light, sunlight, and to privacy. So sunlight is the main issue at the moment, that the application, the planning application, doesn't reflect my neighbour Elsie, who is 92 years old, and she has an extension on her unit that is a sitting room that she spends the majority of her time in when she's not in her garden. And her house would be directly impacted by the buildings where they could go ahead in their current state. Because the shadow would completely take all of the sunlight from her extension. It would also take sunlight from my sitting room at the back of my house and my garden, and also from caves on the west. And then it would directly impact the shed and the garden on top of the driveway. So that Elsie is my friend, my biggest concerns, because she's old and she's there and she's on her own, and so she asked us to speak on her behalf. So, the other neighbours, yes, they'll be impacted, and the other thing I wanted to talk about was their sunlight is so important. As you all know, in Tasmania, it's so important for mental health, and we've got a lot of elderly people, and I put myself kind of getting into that category as well. Spent a lot of time at home, and in winter in Tasmania, sunlight causes lots of issues for depression, and depression is increasing in our elderly residents. And a lot of people I've found since I've been in Dalarayo on the last probably 6-7 years, a lot of elderly people in our community are moving off the land and into units, townhouses in the centre of Dalarayo, where they can walk to all the services there. It's a great community. We're not opposed to the development, let's be clear about that. These neighbours who are doing the development, they're our good friends. They look out for all of us. They keep an eye on my house when I'm not there. They're great. Our only opposition is to the size of the development, and we would be asking Council to look at one dwelling on there. And other people will speak to that. The planner has spoken to that already. So privacy is the other thing. With the current development plan, even though some of the issues have been addressed by the planner around the windows, if those windows are opaque and they're looking down from the height that they will be at the moment in the planning, that still psychologically gives you that impression that you've got a very big pair of buildings looking over what once was just ours there. And so you've got the grass looking down a week away. Now there will be two buildings there with capacity for 12 cars coming up our driveways past our lounge room and kitchen and, in some cases, bedroom windows. So I think that the lack of privacy would be very much impacted, and just would not feel such a lovely, safe, supporting environment, particularly for the neighbours who are there at the moment. So I'm hoping to speak to the building. The planner has addressed our building concerns. When you're considering this, consider it in the broader context of the demographics of beautiful Dalarayan and the community feel, and the general mental health and well-being of all of the residents.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can I just add a note to that? I'm Sharon's husband. It's just a quick one.
Did you want to jump up just for the...
I don't need my...
Sorry, can you just put in it for the recording? That's all right.
Yeah,
could you
sure.
just take your name for the recording?
Simon Herbert. I'm Karen's husband.
Hi, Simon.
And I'm a retired builder. Put it simply, with all of this, it would be far more straightforward, as I mentioned, to the actual developers themselves, if you just allow one dwelling to be built here, further up the block, less need for retaining work, strict footings, very simple. They'll still get a building development through, which they can use for their future, and the local neighbourhood will be a lot less condensed, and everyone would be a lot happier. It's really that simple.
Thank you, Simon. Peter Finley, were you wanting to speak as well, Peter? Yep, thank you. I will say 3 minutes, but I failed completely, so...
I am going to go. I don't know if
I won't take it off your time.
Okay. Well, hello, Deputy Mayor and councillors. I'm Peter Henley. My wife, Belinda, and I have an adjoining property at 27 West Roderick Street. I'm speaking mostly about 41 Parsonage, but I'll also mention a couple other residences there as well. We have no objection to the book proposal as such. Let's see. Our concerns are mostly about the retaining walls and preventing subsidence and soil loss, and all about supervision, approvals and standards of work. That's not what I wanted to speak, but I'll do the best I can. I'll give you that. In the last few years, we've been building works on the site, on the southern boundary. That's number 39 and 458. And excavations at both of those sites are around about 2.5 metres deep. We've had ongoing erosion to both locations. 45A is a lesser issue. 39 Parsons Street is real concern. There was an extensive washout of soil at the site. There was a short-term fix in terms of the temporary shoring up of the vertical embankment with timber scraps and star droppers that is substandard. The excavation extended past the retaining wall. We're concerned about what appears to be the demonstrated lack of ability of building surveyors to supervise and enforce good building practices, and also better engineering approval and or planning in relation to the retaining walls. And this is my own thoughts from my wife. I've not talked to Mark about this really, so this is from us as neighbours. We're concerned about what appears to be a demonstrated lack of ability and about the engineering approval. Fences are not supposed to retain soil, but that's what they are past doing at the moment, retaining soil. The council has no oversight here, and that's advice I've received by speaking to council staff. We, the neighbours, should not have the stress and effort in spending many hours chasing up builders, building surveyors, or landowners. It should not be our problem, but it's become our problem. And I don't like potentially upsetting any neighbours, but there's a risk there. We welcome development at Deloraine. There's a need and demand for more residences. There's a shortage and a great problem. As an example, it's aged care Deloraine. They're having trouble getting staff. They're having trouble filling shifts. And that, I think, is because people have got nowhere to live. They can't live in their life, so they're working somewhere else. In summary, we're 8 units being built, but we don't want a third issue along our boundary. That's it, I'll finish. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak before we move on to Alistair Rule, who I believe would like to speak? Alistair, are you...
Travis, Sonia and I would like to speak together.
Yep, I'm sure that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm very bad at doing the 3 minutes anyway, so we just go.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sonia Rule. My husband, Alistair Rule, and I purchased 41 Parsonage Street, Darwin, in July 2020. On first inspection, we noted of our property that it was surrounded by 10 units and two other vacant lots ready for the development of two more units at 39 Parsonage Street. So that's units number 5 and 6, which are in the process of being developed.
Hi, Alice Doyle here. I'm a carpenter builder. Okay, on the 9th of the 2nd, 2021, I met with Laura Small, town planner at the Meander Valley Council in Westbury, to get information about what we could build. She advised me if we removed the house, we could build 5 units. Sonia and I decided to keep the house and build 2 extra dwellings. We then engaged Design to Live, who liaised with you, Meander Valley Council, and it was decided that 2 dwellings was appropriate.
Tasmania has a housing crisis, fact. The demand for central location property is high. Personally, we have been approached by 4 locals to purchase the new dwellings. The housing crisis in general greatly affects our community's ability to attract professional people, for example, the medical industry. To attract the families of overseas and international people, we made the residences 3 bedrooms. Next, I'm going to quote from the Meander Valley Council agenda, page 34. Response from the Meander Valley Council, and I quote, this is number 9 on that section, and I'll read it out. The comment regarding only constructing 1 additional dwelling is noted. Development may be more compliant with the envelope provisions of the planning scheme if only 1 additional dwelling was proposed, unquote. We feel that, due to the above quote, that Council has misled us, knowing that for 18 months the design was for 2 dwellings.
The Meander Valley Council has a responsibility and obligation to the community to promote the building of new dwellings in this rare central location. Being close to all essential amenities, including hospitals, medical centres, schools and educational facilities. All those people who are opposing the application are denying 2 families the right to live somewhere. This is why the Meander Valley Council should accept and vote on this application. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Anybody else like to speak at all? John? So, councillors, is there someone that would like to move this motion for planning authority? 41 Parsonage Street? Councillor Dudman? Is there anyone to second it? Councillor Dornall. Councillor Dudman is the mover of the motion. Would you like to speak?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. And thank you to everyone who came today to make representations. I do appreciate it. In terms of the development as a whole, I generally don't have an issue with it, except for the shadowing issue that is affected by one of the units onto the neighbouring property, which was mentioned as Elsie's property there. I'm generally speaking pro-sustainable development. However, I don't want to see an impact on neighbouring properties, and the issue I have in particular with that proposed development is that it is providing issue to a 92-year-old resident neighbour. And it does so to the extent that it will impact her amenity to the property And I also don't want to see in a high cost of living period imposing higher electricity bills onto a pensioner because she can't get access to the sun that she currently has and that she, you know, previously would have if we were to approve this development. It's my understanding that conversations were had about amending the application so that that effect wouldn't be as severe, in part. And that therein is my biggest issue, is that the impact it will have on the neighbours. So on that basis, I will be supporting the motion for refusal because I believe that it unfairly affects neighbours and it's not adequately addressed.
Councillor
Don? I think Councillor Dunman has summed that up pretty well. From my perspective, I'm also not against the development as such as much as the overshadowing issue. I think sustainable development, as mentioned within the context of the representation that we've just heard, is paramount within De Lorraine especially. But it can't come at a cost of those that are already living within the municipality as well. So on that ground, I'll be following Councillor Dunn in my acceptance of the planning. Acceptance of the planning and where it is advice.
Thanks, Councillor. Would anybody else like to speak to the motion? No. Councillor Temple.
Through you, Acting Mayor. The developers said that, to my understanding, that they were led to believe that two dwellings were acceptable by council staff for some time. I'm just wondering how that sits with thoughts that it may be more suited to one dwelling.
It's probably a question for Tash, but I think...
It was for you.
Yes, that's okay. I just wanted to make a comment. I guess to the applicants, thank you for coming and raising that. Always feel free to reach out to your councillors at any stage with any issues that you have, you know, not just with planning, that's to everybody in the community. I'd love to come and have a chat with you at some stage if we can, because I feel, you know, feel terrible that you probably have had a negative experience in that sense. So I'll just pass over to Tash to answer the question, though, around the one-unit situation, if that's okay.
Through you, Deputy Mayor. The response in relation to the one additional dwelling was coming at a perspective that if one dwelling was proposed, and depending upon where it is placed on the property, there may be the ability for the requirements of the planning scheme to be complied with, that being the acceptable solutions to be met, which may then lead to a permitted application. However, in saying that, we are in an area that has four attenuated activities operating there. So there will always be a discretionary aspect to any application here. But given that the building envelope was not complied with, as the units being 4.5 metres from the rebound, from the boundary shared with 43 Parsonage Street, was 1.4 metres. That was the main discretion that we are assessing this application on, which means a discretionary application means that council can either approve or refuse the proposal. So there's never a certainty that the application would be approved.
Thanks, Tash. I can't take questions from the floor, I'm afraid.
Well, it's normally 1.5 metres, so 100 mils that
we do tonight. So, just before we go further, Councillor Donoff, would you, as the second of the motion, did you have anything further to add?
Only question relating to the purchase of the property, was it the understanding of the applicant that they purchased the property under the grounds that they would be able to achieve a multiple dwelling development on site?
We
not able to ask.
the current situation.
I might take that offline then. So nothing more from me.
Councillor Dudman, as the mover of the motion.
I look similarly to others who have spoken. I'd be happy to continue discussions about development on that property and how it could be done in a way that's appropriate. My issue goes back to this development, I don't believe is appropriate, but I certainly wouldn't rule out future ones. So I'll just make that note.
Thank you. So with that, I will, if anyone else has anything else to speak, I will put a motion. So all those in favour as it sits, please raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Do you want me to tell
us that? Yeah.
For everybody, it's unanimous. Do you need me to go through everyone?
Yes, that's fine.
Thank you. I'm getting in trouble for not speaking on the audio. Thank you. To those that have come to speak on Passage Street, you can leave if you'd like to, or you can stay on now because we'll move into Cook Street and Hudson. So. Have a quick 2 second pause. It wiggles out.
All right. You do have a housing and medical crisis, people. Oh, do you want your credit card call if you want to discuss it?
So we will move now on to planning authority item for Cook Street, Hadsden. We have some speakers as well. Rowan Wigmore, would you like to speak? Yep, you're happy to come and speak. So 3 minutes, just state your name and where you're from. Thank you.
Good evening, councillors and fellow respondents, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rowan Wigmore. I live in a building adjacent to number 4 Cook Street, and we've been there for about 4 years. I'd like to thank my fellow respondents also for their action, all unanimous in opposing this development application in some way. This DA is for 8 what I consider to be mediocre 2-storey units, crammed into the smallest possible piece of land, and they're placed together at one end of 4 Cook Street. Now, while this may meet the minimum design criteria, I contend that the minimum should be considered for exceptional circumstances and not be used as the norm. 4 Cook Street is a large oblong block. It has many trees. It could easily support 8 tasteful single-storey units in keeping with the surrounding residences of the area, on large allotments throughout the block with no loss of trees. While I understand that this application is considered as presented, I urge Council to consider that if approved, a precedent will be set and the remaining land, which is a simple cut and paste or copy and paste, could accommodate an additional 16 units, albeit with the loss of a large number of mature trees, some of which are estimated to be over 100 years old. Once the precedent is set, this could be replicated throughout Hadsden. People live in come to Hadsden for the semi-rural lifestyle, the peace and quiet, the community feel, and do not want a contrasting high-density development. I think we should set our sights higher and not strive for mediocrity. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Rowan. Is there anyone else like to speak? Otherwise, I can invite Lee Dell to speak on behalf of the applicant. Lee?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Lee Dell of Kings Meadows Launceston, just here to speak in support of 4 Cook Street, Hadsden. 4 Cook Street, Hadsden is just on the fringe of a vibrant new area in Hadsden, which is actually a bit of mixed use with the recreational ground to one side. As you drive around Glenmore Drive, you'll see a little mixture of houses, some 2-storey, very similar to the style of development that we're doing at the moment. It's great to see in Tassie that all housing is different and everyone is subjected to the look of housing, which I think makes Tasmania very unique. After a very favourable planning meeting and review for the project, we lodged the project with the planning officers, once again with their good guidance and some really constructive criticism of the development. Changes were made throughout consultation through the process. A study was done of the area looking in particular at Main Street, which has up to 9 sets of unit developments, all in varying degrees of density. The developer was chosen to fit in well with the area, the need for, obviously, as has been spoken about today, housing in the area. We believe that the development, as mentioned in the planning report, ticks a lot of the planning boxes. So just in support of the development, and hope you all vote for it.
Thanks, Lee. Was there anybody else in the gallery that would like to speak on 4 Cook Street, Hudson? So, councillors, is there a mover for this motion? Councillor Dugman, very enthusiastically there, thank you. Is there a seconder? Thanks, Councillor Loder. As a mover of the motion, Councillor Dugman, would you like to make any comment?
Only that I'll be reluctantly supporting this one. I believe it does fit within the planning scheme and therefore there is limited scope for refusal. But in saying that, there are some valid concerns that have been raised from respondents today. And as a general note, I think that developers need to get better at communicating with the community and working with the community on these applications.
Councillor Loder?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I would echo Councillor Dudman's comments and I'd like to thank everyone who spoke and everyone who sent in a representation. I can see that this does fit the planning scheme and I thank the planners because they often have they always have a really difficult job, so thank you. I'm really concerned about 8 two-storey units being jam-packed into a small bit of land. I'm really concerned about the traffic that will be generated from those 8 new dwellings, and I'm really concerned that when the rec ground is in use, those traffic movements will be even greater. Really concerned. I'm also really concerned that we're increasing the density of Hadsden without really looking at the infrastructure. We're just creating more and more houses. As we just heard in the previous matter, we definitely need housing. I'm not saying we don't, but do we really need to jam tiny little two-storey places all together? I don't think we do. I think we need to come up with solutions for housing that enables the amenity of our little towns and areas to be improved. Having said that, I can see that it fits the Act. I can see that, and that really upsets me greatly. I don't want to see the loss of amenity in Hadsden. So at this point in time, I'm not sure how I'm voting. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Loder. Would anyone else like to speak? Councillor House?
Mayor, thank you. I applaud Councillors Loder and Dudman on their comments, and I agree with them all. I will be voting for the proposal, however, reluctantly, because I too share your concerns about traffic there, and also can share the concerns that we are cramming properties in into very tight spaces where I think we could do better without any question. However, it does fit the criteria, it does fit the planning scheme, so I will be supporting it. However, I agree that I think we need to have a broader conversation about how we want housing to look into the future. And that's a conversation I think we should have sooner rather than later.
Councillor House, any further comments from councillors? Councillor Loder, would you like to add anything else? Councillor Sinfield?
Well, just a comment. I agree with the first gentleman's words couldn't put it any better than what he said. I don't think it does fit the scheme. We've talked about this previously, but some years ago the planning scheme actually had the ability, in, as well as looking at density, it had a two-part test. The second part of the test was how many other multiple dwellings are in an area. So we've had a comment from the proponent about their analysis of what's there. I suspect that test, if it still existed, would have allowed us a lot of room to say enough's enough in this area. Not anti-development at all, but I'd like to see it on a reasonable scale. And in my view, if you know, the area, the common areas were removed from the equation about site density, we'd probably end up with a more reasonable outcome in terms of the number of houses you put on a block. And pending some sensational information about to come from my learned colleagues, I'll be voting against this. I don't think it's an appropriate scale of development. It's over the top, in my view.
Thanks, Councillor Sinfield. Councillor Lowder, any further comments?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I agree with you, Councillor Sinfield. It is a bit over the top. It's just too squished in. So I'm going to vote against it.
Councillor Dunman? So with that, I'll put it to the vote. So all those in favour of Four Creeks, Cook Street, Habson, please raise your hand and say aye. So Cameron, House, Dornoff and Dudner. And those against? Loda, Temple and Sinfield. Motion's passed. Thank you. Those that are here for the planning item, if you wanted to leave and so you don't have to stay for the meeting. Yep. We just have an adjournment for 3 minutes. Thank you. We'll just move out of planning. What am I called? Planning, sorry, now, and move on to community wellbeing. So Westbury Bicentenary celebrations. Was there somebody that would like to move that motion? Councillor Dudman? So you're on. Is there anybody else other than Councillor Dudman that would like? Councillor House. Councillor Dudman, as the mover of the motion, do you have some comments to make?
Just that I'm happy to support this motion. It's a historic year and a big year for Westbury, and this in part will go towards the planning and the festivities that are going to be had throughout the year and ongoing. And I'm excited that, you know, the Meander Valley Council can take part in that. And we'll work with the local historic society and the community to ensure that the celebrations of our bicentenary are as good as they can be.
Thanks. Councillor House?
Thank you. Look, I think it's a very important year for Westbury. A bicentennial is big by any measure. It's got a great sense of history here. Westbury, I think everyone would agree, this is a real opportunity, I think, for us as a community to really enhance what Westbury has to offer and, in fact, develop something for the future as much as anything. I'm very happy to support that funding.
Thanks, Councillor House. I'll just make a comment, actually, before I move on to anybody else, but on page 345, repaint, lighting, insulation and minor refurbishment of restrooms to support the use as regular exhibition and event venue, and missing the words town hall. So just to note that. Thank you. Councillor Sinfield and Councillor Loader.
I think you just changed that to 345, but it is 344.
Well, mine's 344, but John's is 345.
It's got an extra special version of
344 and a half.
Yeah.
It's got a secret page.
Roughly.
Yeah. Councillor Loder.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I'd just like to note that it says playgroup and it should be Westbury Play Gym.
I think you pointed that out.
I did. it's not playgroup yet, which is absolutely the most fabulous organisation. Councillor Dornoff.
Who are you, Deputy Mayor? I think that anything that recognises our small country towns, especially within our municipality, should be recognised into the future. Hopefully this sets precedent for spending whenever we meet a milestone in our beautiful towns.
Councillor Simfield?
It's mentioned in the agenda, but for those that listen to the tape, it would be worthwhile to reaffirm this is just, you know, a couple of items or potentially more things that will be done in this space in the months going ahead, in case people think that, you know, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is just the beginning, isn't it? So, thank you. Does anybody else have anything else to add, or we will move forward? Councillor House or Councillor Dudman, I think. Okay. So all those in favour, please raise your hands and say aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous. Yeah. Thank you, everyone. So infrastructure services, financial support for the disposal of euthanized animals. I can tell you're really keen to move forward and move that motion. Is there anybody that would like to move that motion? Councillor Dornoff. And was there someone that would like to second that?
Apparently me.
Oh, no. I think Councillor Loder just beat you. Sorry, Councillor Dudman. Councillor Dornoff.
Through you, Deputy Mayor. My opinion has certainly changed on this, and through further discussion with Roger Blackwell, I think it's a wonderful initiative. I believe rejecting this application would see less prevalence in the native animals being brought into the practice, and therefore they would obviously have a different varying deaths, unfortunately. So I think anything that we can do to support the disposal of euthanized native animals, and certainly not domestic animals, native animals, I would certainly support.
Councillor Loder? Any comments on the floor? Councillor Simpson?
Questions? Can we, through the chair, have staff flesh out a bit more, some more info on the totality of what's happened? My understanding is there's been some change in terms of the physical disposal of animals that are euthanized. In other words, they used to go to the Deloraine Tip, I think, to a special section and be disposed of. How does this impact on the totality of what we're doing in this space? Please.
Director Dino, would you like to answer his question?
Through you, Acting Mayor?
Oh, whatever. I like Steph, mostly.
Well, yes, historically, yes, animals were disposed of in a pit, as you indicated. That's not currently kosher. There's no space at the moment in terms of where it was happening previously. It's not kosher to do it.
Sorry. Are you laughing at this?
So hence the change that's come into effect. And as I've advised council through recent workshop paper, disposal of animals into the landfill that have had the drug to euthanise them is not acceptable in line with the EPA requirements. So that's the reason for the change. Yep.
But I guess my question is proposing a budget here to, if approved, to help with the cost of getting rid of the animal, but what happens to the animal once it's been euthanised now, if given the pit scenario is no longer available, or they promote it, the record, what's happening?
Through Acting Mayor, my understanding, well, I don't know what happens after they've been cremated. That'll be up to that
But what I mean is that is the answer there. This cost is to actually put the animal down and they are then...
Yes, so through you, Mr. Mayor, the advice from the vet is that they'll go through to cremation. However, if they provided information in their records that they'll take them to the landfill at Launceston, for example, where they have approved cells for disposal, that's also will be okay. It's just that the correspondence has been around cremation initially from them.
Yep. I don't answer your question, Councillor Kim, but I think my understanding is that what they use to dispose of the animal is EPA requirements is you just can't have that floating around in the tip. It needs to be looked after properly. So, did you have a comment?
No, that's okay. Yep. That's all good.
Any further comments or questions? No? Councillor Loader? Councillor Dorr?
I think in our workshop a couple of weeks ago there were discussions about reporting of the numbers of animals are disposed of. I think in this sense we really just need to trust the applicant. Roger Blackwell has a long-standing relationship with the Dwarra and wider community and yeah, I think we can rest easy knowing he's in charge of the disposal.
Councillor Temple.
My question is, if animals in the eastern end or in that direction are sent to, taken to Launceston or to either to in the Meander Valley or taken to Longford, are we going to do the same to pay vets in those areas?
Director Dino, did you have anything further to add?
No.
I think it's just for animals. It's for the tip, the fees, I guess, for the tip, not for the actual helping them out into passing.
I think that's a question for another municipality, really. As to the origin of the animal is less important as to the back end and the disposal, which is undertaken by relevant veterinary practice. Potentially other municipalities. So.
I haven't answered your question, have I? Would you like to get further clarification on that?
Oh, well, I don't think there is an answer, quite frankly. I think if people are over in Bracknell, they're more likely to take an animal.
If that was injured, and they'll take it.
They're not going to, drive out to Whisper. They're going to go in another direction. And people in Kimberley are more likely to go to Latrobe?
Okay, well, I think we will move on to the vote. Unless anybody else has got any other comments? No. Okay. So all those in favour, please raise your hand and say aye.
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 I'll keep them up so I can read them up for Jeff. So Cameron, Loader, House, Dornoff, Dudman and Sinfield. And those against? Temple. The motion's carried. Thank you. Thanks, Dino. Okay, so governance, Meander Valley Council Model Code of Conduct. General Manager, did you want to make any comments on this before we move forward?
Through you, Deputy Mayor. Just that the Council is required to endorse the Model Code of Conduct within 3 months of an election. We're a little bit over that with Christmas and everything else. Council does have a discretion to put to the Minister a variance to the Model Code of Conduct, but the indications are that a variance would not be supported. So largely it's a formality to adopt a Code of Conduct to comply with legislation, and noting that the Code of Conduct is also subject to a review process that is underway by the Tasmanian Government.
Thank you. So do we have a mover for this? Right, eager beavers. Councillor House, does that mean you'd like to go as a seconder, Councillor Donald? Would you like to make any comment, Councillor House?
Yes, I would. I think that the Model Code of Conduct meets the objectives of the community pretty broadly, and expectations of the community, and also the employees and councillors ourselves. I think it's really important to acknowledge, and I think it was in that last paper that went to the Legat conference that I think Councillor Temple attended. There's been some real workplace health and safety issues within councils in recent times. So in the last 3 years, they said it was very problematic. So I think this, as long as everyone adheres to the code of conduct, of course, having one and having people adhere to it is enough. But I think it meets the expectations of all parties. So I'm all for it.
Councillor Donald?
Only that if the adoption of the code of conduct is a formality, then I believe the discussion is a formality as well. So I'll be accepting.
Thank you. Any other comments from other councillors? So I'll put it to the vote then. So all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands.
Aye.
Cameron, Loder, House, Tornoff and Dudman. And those against, please raise your hands. Say aye.
Aye.
Councillor Simfield, are you abstaining, Councillor Temple?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. So the motion is carried.
You can't say aye to an adoption to a motion you're voting against. It's got to be nay.
I was just doing.
Oh, did I say that?
I was just doing what
you're
I was.
You're really good at pickups today. Thank you. Sorry, I've only had three crunchies. Okay, so nay. Okay, so hang on, right page. So now governance. 381. Thank you. 380. So Northern Tasmania Development Corporation constitutional change. Did you have any comments, GM, on this one?
Yeah, through you, Miss Mister.
Say nay.
Say nay. Through you, Deputy Mayor. Just that background for new councillors. NTDC did a review of its board functioning last year and had a replacement chair, and at the time member council agreed that it was appropriate to change the way input from member councils was formally received to the board. The letter of member expectations reflects that. The associated change to the constitution brings weight to that letter of expectation. And the draft agreement sets us up for a renewal of funding terms for the next 3 years. Our current agreements expire 2023 this year, and so we will get an opportunity to consider continued membership of NTDC later on. But these really reflect a fair amount of work by NTDC to refine how the organisation operates, how it uses funding, and also how it receives instruction from member councils.
Mr. General Manager, is there a mover of that motion? Councillor Dormer looked very excited about that. Is there anyone that would like to second it? No one at all? Oh, Councillor House. Councillor Dornoff?
Through you, Mr.
Deputy.
I acknowledge our role today is to endorse the documents, but I will be promoting and advocating for a thorough discussion as to the renewal of our membership in the future.
Thanks, Councillor Donald. Councillor House? Would anyone like Councillor Dutton?
Thank you, Acting Mayor.
Acting Mayor.
Look, I will be supporting this motion as well because it is positive that the NTDC is renewing themselves and working towards a brighter future, but I also share Councillor Dornoff's concerns about our membership, and I too will be strongly scrutinising it in the future because I'm not certain, and actually I'm almost convinced that we're not getting the value for money from this organisation. I will be happy to be convinced otherwise in the coming months, but it is a concern that I would like to publicly state on record.
Councillor Loder?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I would like to echo Councillor Lockie and Councillor Benn's comments. I was not... I had alarm bells ringing when we had a presentation from NTDC. I don't believe we get value for money from them, but as Councillor Benn said, I am happy to be convinced otherwise, but at the moment I am in a state of dubiousness.
Anyone else like to make any comments or questions?
No.
Councillor Sinfield?
Oh, well, I'd just probably echo those comments. I mean, it's interesting over the years. I mean, I think probably Councillor Kelly's had strong antipathy in the past. It keeps morphing and we keep sort of saying the same things about we'll look and it keeps on becoming something different with essentially the same title. I probably will err on the side of supporting it on this occasion and with a new council, have a close look at how the model goes forward and, more importantly, what actual benefits come in, flow out of it. Sometimes they're a bit hard to see but, yeah, happy, not happy, we'll support it at the moment.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Councillor House, Councillor Donald?
Only just to wrap, I think what everyone has mentioned around the table, that we are certainly open to the discussion, and I welcome probably a little bit more quantitative data about the benefit to the Meander Valley, as that is obviously the point that we want to establish. We are open to the discussion, but we certainly need to be convinced at this current stage. Thank you.
Thank you. And, yes, that is a conversation that we will have at a later date. So I think, that's a loud and clear message that we will need to have a lot more information. But for this moment, for this motion that's before us, if there's no other comments, I'll put the motion to a vote. So all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Cameron House. You have to leave it up because I'm slow. Cameron House. Dornoff, Dudman. Oh, it's unanimous. No, it's not. It's not. Not. Just ignore what I just said. Temple and Sinfield. And all those against. Do not say aye, but you can raise your hands if this is anyone
I'm
against.
I'm going to abstain.
Abstain, right. So with Loader abstaining, thank you.
Yes.
The motion is carried.
And
yes?
Acting Mayor, if I could just say, in reference to the Model Code of Conduct, you cannot continue to adopt. Once you have adopted, it's not something you can continue.
Adopt changes.
Mm.
That's a further change, but once something is adopted, it is adopted. You cannot continue to adopt it because it becomes the status quo.
Okay.
Thank you.
Legislation.
It's just, if we're just following the legislation that we're 3 months into this new council. Okay, look. Take that as noted. Thank you. Okay,
so I'll say that. Councillor Sinfield's on the money here.
All of the money?
Oh, I just said the wording in the Act is that you are required as a new council to review the Code of Conduct. It doesn't say you adopt it. The council, a previous council's already adopted it.
Okay.
We were to amend it or try that sort of thing on, difficult as that is, that would be a different matter. But you're simply acknowledging, in my view, stating for the record in the minutes that you have reviewed within 3 months the existing code of conduct. That's essentially why I voted the way I did.
And why I voted the way.
Okay. Well, with that, we're going to move into closed session. So the lovely gallery may want to.
We need to move to close.
Pardon?
We need to move.
Yes, we're about to move a motion. Yes.
It's a big
Lockie would like to open the door because Lockie likes opening doors. Okay, thank you. So can I have a motion to move into closed session?
We've got all our hands fly up now.
Me.
Councillor Loader and who was the other one that was excited?
I would be.
Councillor Dornoff.
I hope we get a trophy for that.
No. All those in favour?
Aye.
No one's against? Carried. Right.